Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. Friends, I believe that there's someone listening in today for the very first time, and you think that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Ah, listen, my friend. God has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Yes, perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the cross work of Christ. Well, friend, if this is the first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now then again, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's word. In Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And furthermore, if you ever expect to be saved and born again, you'll have to listen. Yes, you also have to believe what God has to say. In John 3 and 3, Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, except the man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in 1 Peter 1 and 23, we're told that we're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that simply means we've got to believe the Bible. We've got to believe the Word of God that says we're sinners. We've got to believe the Word of God that says we can't do a thing to save our own soul. Then we've got to believe the Word of God that says Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Friends, when we believe that with all of our heart, that very moment we become children of God. We're saved. Yes, we're born again from above, this time into the family of God. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee afresh for Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee, our God, for the truth of the words that escaped His own lips. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace today so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. We pray, our God, that Thy Holy Spirit will bless the Word. We claim Thy promise that it shall not return void, and we look to Thee by Thy Holy Spirit and through Thy Word to bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are tuned our way today who've never been saved and born again. Save them, we pray, for Jesus' sake. For we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Thee, O Lord, holy, of sin now. and pray thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death you lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing
friends, I thank God today that I can say in the truth of that hymn, Lord Jesus, I love thee. Friend, I thank God that he loved me long before I ever loved him. Yes, before my eyes met the light of day, God loved me. And that's the reason he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to die on the old rugged cross for a sinner like me. Well, friends, today I'm going to direct your attention, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, to a verse of scripture that we find in Luke chapter 19, and another verse of scripture we find in Matthew 24. The first in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now in our second scripture, Matthew chapter 24, and again the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in verse 44. Matthew 24 and verse 44. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now friends, in the two scriptures we've read together today, we have brought before us, by the Holy Spirit of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Yes, two important facts brought before us by Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we're told why the Son of Man came into the world, and that was to seek and to save those who were lost. And then in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, we're told that we should be ready, for the Son of Man is coming again. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now perhaps someone is wondering why the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man when he was actually the Son of God. Well friends, you're right in believing that he was the Son of God. But according to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, he was actually God manifest in the flesh. But he had to become like ourselves, apart from sin, in order to bring us back to God. He had to be, as it were, our kinsman redeemer. Yes, he had to veil his heavenly glory when he took upon himself the form of a man. And yet he lost none of his divinity when he did become man. In Philippians chapter 2, we read that even though the Lord Jesus Christ was equal with God, he became of no reputation and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all creation, came down to this sin-cursed earth and became the Lamb of God. And friends, if I live to be 100 years old, I'll never be able to fully comprehend how the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we who are sinful sons of men might through faith in him become the sons of God. No, we can't comprehend the love of God that allowed him to come down to this earth to die on the cross for our sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 we read, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Yes, amazing grace from beginning to end, and I thank God afresh today for His unspeakable gift. And sinner friend, you too can praise the Lord and become a child of God by trusting the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is your own and personal Savior. Yes, the grace of God is still being offered to poor lost sinners who will but accept the Son of God as the Savior of their soul, as well as the Lord of their life. Now, I mentioned there the Lord of your life, because I believe there are a lot of people, and perhaps some of you listening in today, and you're looking for a fire escape. You're looking for a Savior, but you don't want a Lord. Listen, friend. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He's your Lord, you'll do what He wants you to do. You know, friends, I like that verse of Scripture found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's what we read. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Sinner friend, God loved us long before our eyes met the light of day. The Lord Jesus Christ declares in John 3 and 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And even the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 8 that God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you notice that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for lost sinners. In our text, Luke 19 and 10, the Lord Jesus Christ said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again in Luke 5 and 32, He says that He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And finally, I think of what the Apostle Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Here's what he says. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And now, sinner friend, the discussion resolves itself down to a person. In other words, as you listen to this radio broadcast today, can you honestly say that you're saved? Can you say of assurance and from down deep in your heart that you know that you're a child of God because you can recall when you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and you knew you were a lost, hell-bound sinner, and then you trusted God's Son as your own and personal Savior? Well, friend, remember this. You can't be saved until you realize that you're lost. And unfortunately, many professing Christians today know absolutely nothing of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, sinner friend. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of the soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I say that with the highest degree of reverence, but logic itself tells us that a sinner will never place his trust in the precious blood of God's Son until he realizes he needs that blood to cleanse him from all sin. It's just that simple, friend. You must be convicted of your need of Christ, or you can't even be a candidate for God's salvation. It's just as though you were lying in your bed and sick, and you know that that remedy for your illness in the form of a prescription or medicine is lying on the dresser table. But friend, you do nothing about it. You do nothing about taking it. Friend, listen. The remedy for your illness will do you no good until you appropriate it. And so it is with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ can do you no good until you realize you need it. Now perhaps there's someone listening in today who is depending upon their church membership, religious ritual, or high moral living to take them into the kingdom of God. Well friends, let's see what the Word of God has to say about this. After all, if we can be saved by what we do, rather than having faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done, then there would be no use for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, becoming the Son of Man. No, there would have been no need for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ if we could do anything to save our own souls. Friends, over in Titus 3 and 5, we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saves us. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God declares, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, friends, the Word of God, I believe, is very, very clear. We cannot be saved by trying to do the best we can. No, salvation is only for those who realize that they're lost sinners in God's sight. Now, perhaps someone's thinking, well, doesn't God take notice of my religious activities and high moral virtues? Yes, my friend, He does take note of your attempts to please Him with your own efforts. And here's what He says to you over in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. "Ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses," that means good works and religious rituals, "all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now, wait a while, friend. Don't get angry with me. I'm only telling you what God has to say about all your so-called good works. He brands them all as filthy rags because they make void the death of His dearly well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner friend, remember this. God can only receive glory when you condemn yourself and then trust His Son as your Savior. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And friend, in Romans 10 and 17, God says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So sinner friend, if you want to please God today, then listen to the Word of God which says that you're a sinner. You need to be saved. And then listen to the Word of God which says that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that takes you and I and everyone else in, friend, because there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, up till now, we've been discussing the fact that the first time the Son of Man came to this earth, over 1900 years ago, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, He came with the express purpose of dying on the old rugged cross for my sin and your sin too. But now let's spend a few minutes with our second scripture text for today, as recorded in Matthew 24 and verse 44. There we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died, was buried, and ascended to the right hand of God, is coming again. Yes, He's coming again. Here's what we read. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now here in Matthew 24 and verse 44, we're told that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come again. It's a promise. Yes, and we who are truly born again Christians today, we're looking forward to that blessed hope and the reappearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God we're not looking for the undertaker either, but we're looking for the uppertaker. I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words." And friend, one of these days, perhaps today, every child of God, dead or alive, is going to be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that there are some dear saints listening in today who are even now saying, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." Yes, when the Lord comes for the redeemed of earth, He'll take us home to be with and like Him throughout the endless ages of all eternity. And friend, after that, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more loneliness, no more fears and heartaches and apprehensions. Christian friends, we'll be at home with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the countless ages of all eternity, we'll sing, "Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own most precious blood." Well, it's a wonderful prospect for those of us who are saved. But how about you who are not saved? You who have never been born again? You who can't look back to a definite time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? What hope is there for you, my friend, when the Son of Man comes again? Well, sinner friend, you have no blessed hope. In fact, Ephesians 2 and 12 tells us that if you've never been saved by the sovereign grace of God, then you're without Christ, you're without God, and you're without hope in this world. And friend, I wouldn't trade places with you for all the money on earth. No, my friend, I wouldn't trade places with you even for 1 second for all the money on earth. Because during that 1 second, the Lord might come and I'd be left behind. Now, sinner friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ should come today, the door of God's grace would be shut. Your chance of salvation would cease to exist, and you would be as sure of hell as though you were already there. And that, my friend, is a reason why you should be ready not only for the Lord's coming, but you should also be ready to meet God, because if you die unsaved, then you would spend all eternity weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. Now, I'll agree that's not a nice thing to say, but I'll admit, friend, even though it's not a nice thing to say, it's the truth. I must be faithful. I must tell you the truth of God's Word, even if it is distasteful. I know perhaps your preacher doesn't preach like I do. Well, shame on him. He can tell you about the love of God. He can tell you about heaven. But does he ever tell you about the wrath of God as the consequences of not accepting God's love? Does he ever tell you you're going to die and go down to hell if you're not saved and born again? Friend, I must tell you the truth. After all, you wouldn't consider me a friend of yours if I didn't warn you to flee from the wrath to come, now would you? Of course not. I'm telling you the truth of God's Word today because I want you to be ready when the Lord comes or when you die. I want you to know that there's no justifiable reason for any creature of God to end up in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Oh, no, my friend. God has provided a means of escape from the flames of hell. Yes, a means whereby sinful man can be brought back into a new and proper relationship with his Creator God. And friends, the only way for a sinner to get back to God is through faith in the finished work of His Son. In John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again in John 10:9, He declares, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And even the Apostle Peter reiterates this blessed truth in Acts 4:12, where he says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Well, that's it, friend. As you listen to this voice of the gospel radio broadcast today, you're either saved or you're lost. You're either a child of God or else you're a child of the devil. You're either on the road to heaven or else you're on the road to hell. Yes, you're either ready for the Lord's return or else your spiritual condition is such that if the Lord Jesus Christ should return today, you'd be left behind to suffer the torment of the doomed and the damned, and that for all eternity. Oh, friend, it's a solemn thought to be left behind when Jesus comes. We read over in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 34, Two shall be in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be working in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Tell me, my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ should come today, and every indication points to His imminent return, would you be taken or would you be left? Now, friends, I believe that many of you listening in today have heard the gospel story many, many times, and yet you're still outside of Christ. Yes, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to your heart and soul time and time again. You know that you're a sinner in God's sight. You know that Jesus Christ came from heaven to die on the cross for your sins. You know that you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Yes, you know down deep in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to claim from the world His own. And yet, my friend, you continue to trample underfoot the Son of God. You continue to resist the grace-filled pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, you're on dangerous ground. You're trifling with the love and the mercy and the grace of God which were manifested in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, my friend. Listen to the warning given in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, sinner friend, that's the message that God has for you today. The first time the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, it was as the Son of Man to seek and to save that which was lost. The next time He comes, it will be to claim from the world those that have been redeemed by His precious blood. So, friend, if you've never been saved or born again, I plead with you, in love for your soul, in view of eternity, and in view of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge your sinful condition in God's sight, repent of your sin, and simply trust God's Son as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we again bow in Thy holy presence to thank Thee for Thy beloved Son and for the extension of Thy love and mercy and grace. And Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word today. We pray, our God, that if there's someone listening in today outside of Christ, that Thy Holy Spirit might bring both conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that zip code is 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.